Today, the church around the world commemorates the beginning of this week, the most sacred week of the entire year. We think about Jesus coming into Jerusalem to accomplish the work for which he came. The fact that the Son of God comes among us as a man to preach the gospel and ultimately toward the end to suffer and to die and rise from the dead to restore us to life. St. Paul writes about that, that Jesus did that. He comes in the fullness of time to do that. Taking the form of a slave, he comes in human likeness. He humbles himself to the point of death, becoming obedient, even to death on a cross. And because of this, our hearts should bend before him, our whole lives be laid before him, and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. But we don't always say that. Our minds, our hearts, our lives are not always laid before Christ. In fact, given the choice, like the Jews were in the gospel narrative, between Barabbas and Christ, sometimes we'd rather choose Barabbas and not the other one, in their own words. When you look at it, God created us, human beings, as rational beings. We have a mind, we can think, we can choose, we can decide things. If our minds are working correctly, we can choose what's good and follow what's good. God conferred on every one of us here the dignity of a person who can initiate and control our own actions. God willed that we should be left in the hand of our own counsel, that we should freely choose to love him, freely choose to serve him, that we could do this on our own accord and not be forced into it, right? That we could freely choose full and blessed perfection by clinging to God, by clinging to the gospel. We all know that by our free will, by our own act of choice, every one of us here chooses the direction of our lives. We shape our own lives. Your freedom, my freedom, is a force for growth and maturity. In faith, in hope, in love, for growth and maturity and truth and goodness, coming to that perfection that God calls us to when we direct everything toward God. On the other hand, this same free will that you and I have can be used as a force for degeneration and decay. When we find ourselves sunken in falsehood and lies, sunken in evil, attaining total depravity, when we direct our free will toward ourselves. What do I mean by that? Every day you and I wake up and we have choices. We have decisions to make all day long. It starts off in the very beginning by things that are kind of insignificant and inconsequential. We decide on what kind of soap or shampoo we're going to use in the shower, what kind of clothes we're going to wear, what kind of mouthwash or toothpaste we're going to use, what we're going to eat for breakfast, etc., etc. But then there are those choices that affect who we are and the direction our lives are going. For example, the choice to pray or not to pray. The choice to go to Mass or not go to Mass. The choice to give in to what other people are doing and pressure and to gossip and sin or become dishonest. Or the choice to do what is right and good by building up and not tearing down. The choice between being faithful to God, faithful to our spouses, our families, our faith, ourselves. Or the choice between doing the right thing or the popular thing. Do what everybody else is doing. Between lying or telling the truth. Honestly admitting an error or blaming it on others, etc. Ultimately, with those kinds of choices, what we're faced with is a choice between good and evil, a choice between life or death, between heaven or hell. This much I can guarantee every person sitting in this church today, every one of us is going to die. You will die, I will die. After death, all of us are going to stand alone before God and be judged according to the decisions that we made. The decisions of our lives. If you and I love Christ, It makes sense then that if we love Christ and we're going to look to do what is right, we're going to look to do what is good, we're going to look to do what's holy if we love God. Why? Because we know that we're called to become saints, to live in the fullness of the life that Christ won for us. If, however, you love yourself and you only look to do what pleases you, what makes you do good or make you feel good, then what's going to make you get ahead but come out on top, if it's all centered around yourself to make you become number one, then what does that lead to? Only saints go to heaven and no one else. Now you might say, well, Father, I'm not a saint yet. That might be true. We're all imperfect. But if we are striving for that perfection, if we're trying to live by what Christ has taught us, and we die, we can thank God for purgatory, we're on the way up. But if we don't care, and we have that opportunity to serve the Lord and turn away from it, then we condemn ourselves. Only saints go to heaven. Nobody else. Period. If we're not living in Christ, we go to hell. And that's all there is to it. But your freedom, my freedom, is limited, and it's imperfect, and God understands that. We fail all the time because we're under original sin. We sin, and we sin because we have the freedom to sin. Because we've refused God's plan of love and salvation, we've lied to ourselves and become slaves to our sinfulness. And we all know quite well that one sin leads to 1,000 more. The Jews had no idea how powerful that statement was when they said, "His blood be upon us and our children." It wasn't the fact that they were trying to attain guilt for themselves and generations after them, but they were welcoming the blood of the Lamb that was going to cleanse them and save them from themselves and their sinfulness. And the same with us. They said two chilling things that day. First of all, they chose Barabbas over Christ. That's chilling enough. But in another gospel, they say, "We have no king but Caesar," when they rejected Christ. Now, these were people who every day, at every prayer, and every Sabbath, began every prayer with the words, "Blessed are you, Lord, God of the universe, King of the universe." But what did they do? They rejected and embraced death. I ask you to kind of close your eyes for a moment. Imagine yourself among the crowd there with Pontius Pilate at the Praetorium. And look at Christ. Look at Christ beaten and whipped. Look at Christ stripped naked and crowned with thorns. Look at him in chains and covered with wounds and blood. You seem to see the very picture of death itself, but it's deceiving. What you have here is life that is covered and hidden by death. But then you look on the other side, and what do you see? You see Barabbas. And you look at a man who is covered in rags and fleas, a man who's covered in filth with the stench of human waste and human pride. You look at this man who is full of himself, who has taken his life in his own hands, and with those same hands has taken the lives of others. Look at them. Look at them both. In both of them, we see ourselves. You and I are in each one of these men, but we have to choose. Choose one. Both of them will die, but only one will live after death. But still, we must choose. How sad it is when day in and day out, we have Christians who, instead of choosing Christ, choose money over Christ, choose power or influence over Christ, choose possessions over Christ, who choose sports and recreation, anything other than Christ. choose leisure before Christ, sex before Christ, lawlessness before Christ, drugs before Christ, who will choose this world before Christ. They choose themselves. And when we do that, we choose Barabbas. We choose death, and we choose damnation. Christ dies. Christ dies in you and in me. Christ dies in us who chose Barabbas. He dies for us who have chosen Barabbas. His blood is upon us and upon our children. With Barabbas, we will certainly die, but only Christ lives beyond death. Only in Christ, with Christ, and through Christ, do we live beyond death. As St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, for freedom that Christ chose to die that we might live. And so today, with those crowds who welcome Christ on this day in Jerusalem, we too can say, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. He has come to his people and set them free. We pray today that in every choice we must make, we will always choose Christ, to choose in Christ and to live in Christ.